5, 4, 3, 2.
Good afternoon. I'm Dan Gelber, the mayor of Miami Beach, and this is a workshop of the Miami Beach City Commission. It is October 30th, and we are in the convention center because there are renovations going on in our chambers at City Hall. The purpose of this workshop is traffic management workshop, and so everybody knows, is there, Rafael, some Zoom information you can give everybody?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead and do it.
During this hybrid commission workshop on traffic management, the City Commission is physically present in the temporary commission chamber at Miami Beach Convention Center, 1901 Convention Center Drive, rooms 222 through 225. The public is encouraged to attend the workshop virtually. However, members of the public who wish to attend the workshop in person may appear at the temporary commission chamber at the Miami Beach Convention Center. To participate virtually, the public may join the workshop by visiting the Zoom app on their smart device or on the web at zoom.us. They may also do so by telephone. The local number is 305-224-1968. Again, 305-224-1968. The toll-free number is 888-475-4499, 888-475-4499. The webinar ID is 813-928-576-71#. Again, 813-928-576-71#.
Okay, so our city has is a 7.5-mile barrier island with basically three water exits and entrance, and we have a ground bridge on the north side. Not much else coming and going. We have severe traffic problems. Our roads are state, county, and city, and so sometimes it can be very perplexing, especially when we're a population of 90,000 on a Wednesday and a 500,000 on a Saturday night. So these are the kinds of challenges we're facing. We all know them. This has been a desire. What we're going to have today are basically representatives from the various agencies that have some relevance to traffic movement and this traffic mission. I think in my State of the City last time, I thought this would be a good idea. I want to commend Commissioner Miner for putting it on the agenda to actually realize this workshop. And I know all of my colleagues are very interested in this. We hear it all the time. I think Alina's gotten too many of my videos when I'm in traffic and I'm showing her the line at 41st Street and saying, oh my goodness, what can we do? And then she sends me her videos because she goes out there and sees the same thing. So I think our residents should know that we obviously have been hearing you. We aren't living in other cities. We feel it exactly the way you feel it. So I think this is a helpful exercise today because so many of our arteries are controlled by other entities. Coast Guard has the bridges and things like that. So I want to first thank my colleagues for coming, and I know we have a few people online as well who are listening. And before I turn it over to Lena and I ask if any of my colleagues want to say something briefly, just a couple things. Our city manager is going to run this meeting in a sense in terms of letting us know what's going on. And I want to thank all of the people from FDOT. I know Ms. Miller, you're over there. I see in the second. Thank you for bringing your team from FDOT District 6. The Miami-Dade County Department of Transportation and Public Works is our thank you very much. Miami-Dade Transportation, the TPO, the Transportation Planning Organization, is here. The Coast Guard is here virtually. Thank you. And the City of Miami, North Bay Village, and the town of Surfside are also involved. So what we've tried to do is bring in anybody who's got a mission on in our streets or a mission in control over our arteries and put them all in a room. You should know, however, that this isn't the first time they've met each other, and this isn't the first time they've been thinking about this. This is what these folks do all the time. Our challenges have been, I think, a great byproduct of the simple fact that our population has changed over the last few decades or generations. When I was a kid, it was mostly seniors living in places, frankly, that they didn't get enough visits from their grandkids and children, and not a whole lot of entertainment and not a whole lot of other traffic coming here. Over the last few generations, and specifically over the last few decades, we've become a much, much younger city with more cars, more families, more kids going to the parks, more people going out to eat, more people visiting. And so now we've got cars and Ubers and all sorts of things. And that has created a lot of challenges for us. So hopefully today, Alina, you'll be able to take us through and show us some of the things that you think we should be doing, and with our partners and friends who share exactly the same mission. Anybody else want to be heard before we start? There will not be public testimony, not because we don't want to hear from the public, but because this is a workshop, and the purpose of this meeting is to give really the folks that are running these arteries an opportunity to address some of the problems, which we are all very well aware of because we feel them every single day, because we are residents. That's what a citizen commission is supposed to do. Commissioner Minor, sure.
Thank you for teeing it up, Mayor, and I'm glad you did mention in the state of the city. And I ultimately put it on the agenda because we kept talking about this at committee, at the Public Safety Committee, and traffic not only came up as a topic of conversation, but also hearing from our residents quite often. So I thought it would be useful for, one, we are doing things. For example, we're adding traffic, dedicated traffic officers, but there's so much that we're doing, and we're really working closely with our partners at the state, with FDOT and the county, federal, Coast Guard, and others in our neighboring cities. But I think it would really it's useful for our residents to hear that, because oftentimes when we get a complaint in, and usually we're the front line, right? I'm guessing, but I think this is true. Generally, we're going to hear it first. Some people realize that we don't control everything, like the traffic lights or certain aspects of the roads, but we work together closely. And I thought it would be useful for people to see that collaboration, and also get a better understanding of some of the limitations that we have, but also how we are trying to work closely and make improvements when we can. So there's a lot that goes into it, but I think this is an extremely good start, and hopefully we'll continue to have that close working collaboration.
Okay. Anything else? All right. Alina.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and Commissioners Minor and Commissioner Dominguez. Appreciate very much the opportunity to be here and to have this opportunity to describe to you not only all the things that the city is working on, and I can tell you sincerely that the city has really spent millions of dollars, not only in technology infrastructure that we're investing in for purposes of traffic monitoring and being able to really know and understand what's happening on our streets, but obviously in improvements and enforcement activities. As many of you know, you very generously approved the addition of 10 public safety officers that will go into effect and hopefully will be deployed on our streets before we reach the high impact weekends coming up in December. And there's a lot of work that's being done internal to the city for purposes of mitigating our traffic condition. But we do enjoy a very outstanding relationship, not only with FDOT and its leadership. And thank you, Secretary Miller, for being here today. It's an honor to work with you and to work in collaboration with you and your very excellent staff, as well as all the agencies of Miami-Dade County. The Coast Guard, I believe, is on via Zoom today, and obviously our fellow and brother sister cities that surround us. Jose and his team have done an outstanding job of preparing a PowerPoint that they want to share with you, where they will walk you through all of our current condition and describe to you how our current condition is different than it was perhaps 4 years ago. The last time I think the city had a transportation workshop was probably a little bit longer ago, maybe 6-7 years ago. But he's gonna share a lot of really great, outstanding factual information about what our condition is, the different projects that we're working on, and then have the opportunity to hear from some of our peers and our colleagues. So, Jose, you want to start the presentation?
Yes.
Thanks. Jose?
Thank you, Madam Mayor.
And speak up a little bit. You have a softer...
Yeah. No, it is. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you, Mr. Mayor, Commissioners, Mr. City Clerk, Madam Mayor, Madam Assistant City Manager. It's a pleasure to be here. Jose Gonzalez, Transportation and Mobility Director. And thank you, Commissioner Minor, for the opportunity to discuss this very important topic in our city. I always appreciate any opportunity to discuss transportation, traffic, and really what we're doing to try to manage traffic in our city. And before I begin my presentation, though, I would like to introduce my team. I always say that we're small but mighty. My transportation team, if you could please stand up. Many times I get to be here and speak about transportation, but they're really the ones that deserve the glory, as I say. There's a lot of hours were put into this presentation, a lot of data that we'll be presenting in a few minutes, and just wanted to acknowledge them. So thank you.
And, Jose, I think what's important for the commission and the public to understand is not only do we manage a trolley contract and we manage the mass transportation initiatives, but, I mean, the expertise that you see before us is engineering expertise, and we do have that type of capability, engineers, traffic analysts on our staff. Again, very small staff, but very few cities of our size have the luxury of having this level of expertise on board.
True. Thank you, Madam Manager. And so if we can kickstart the presentation, thank you. So, Mr. Mayor, as you mentioned, our city is a microcosm of activity at the level of many large metropolitan areas. We're a worldwide destination that hosts major events throughout the year, and we welcomed over 8 million overnight visitors in 2022. We're a highly urbanized 7-square-mile barrier island with limited entry and exit points and little to no opportunities to widen our roadways. One important point to highlight is that as a city in Miami-Dade County, we do not have jurisdictional authority or regulatory control over the roads and the bridges in our city. As such, we do not have jurisdictional authority over traffic control devices on those roads, such as traffic signals, stop signs, speed limits, or bridge opening schedules. For this reason, we collaborate and partner with transportation regulatory agencies that do have that jurisdiction, all of which are present here today: the Florida Department of Transportation, Miami-Dade County Department of Transportation and Public Works, Miami-Dade Transportation Planning Organization, or TPO, and the U.S. Coast Guard. And it's been because of the collaboration and the strong partnership that we have that we've been able to demonstrate leadership in Miami-Dade County through many of the initiatives that we'll be highlighting in this presentation. Now let's take a look at some of the key factors that are contributing to our current traffic conditions. Population. All of you are aware that our resident population has been decreasing over the past few years. To be more specific, we've decreased almost 13% from 2018 to 2022. However, the decline has been tapering to less than 1% between 2021 and 2022. So we are showing signs of leveling off from a population resident population standpoint. But the fact is that we're a city of more than 80,000 residents. We're an international destination that has the privilege of hosting world-renowned events and celebrations throughout the year. So our population metric goes beyond just resident population. We measure our average daily population, which includes our residents, labor force, hotel guests, and other visitors. On any given day, our average daily population is over 220,000 people, an increase of more than 17% over the past 10 years. And that metric continues to increase. Higher average daily population translates into more traffic on our roadways, but only if the private vehicle continues to be the predominant form of transportation in our city. Going back to the point of jurisdictional authorities, this map illustrates that all our causeways and major thoroughfares are under the purview of either the state or the county. The roads in red on the map are under FDOT's jurisdiction, and the roads in yellow are under Miami-Dade County's jurisdiction. Level of service is the metric that traffic engineers use to qualitatively assess the operations or the performance of a roadway based on the volume of vehicles and the capacity of that roadway. It works very similar to a report card, where A is the highest and the best ranking, and F is the lowest or the worst ranking. This map illustrates that several of our major thoroughfares are operating at a failing level of service, that's an F, and have been for several years. Several other arterials are at impending failure. That's a level of service D or E, meaning any accident or incident on that roadway which disrupts traffic flow will result in gridlock. There's one metaphor that we often use in these types of situations, trying to fit 100,000 people in an 80,000-seat stadium. Another key metric used is vehicle miles traveled, or VMT. VMT represents the cumulative number of miles that all vehicles are traveling on one or more roadways. A lower VMT means less vehicle miles are being traveled, which means less driving. Less driving means less traffic, less emissions, and less energy consumption. Higher VMT is the converse: more driving, more traffic, more emissions, more energy consumption. As we can see here, over the past 8 years, our vehicle miles traveled have increased by almost 5% in Miami-Dade County. This is actually a countywide picture. And we're all aware that traffic is not unique to Miami Beach. It's a regional issue. To understand traffic in our city, we must look at the regional facilities that are feeding the arterials in and around our city, as these have a real impact on the traffic that we experience as we travel in our city. From a regional perspective, traffic in and around the immediate vicinity of Miami Beach is growing at a much higher pace than other parts of Miami-Dade County. I-95 is our closest regional expressway for north-south travel. Based on traffic counts, just north of the Julia Tuttle Causeway, over the past 2 years, traffic on I-95 has grown by more than 14%, much higher than the historical growth of approximately 13%. One of the three primary facilities providing east-west mobility is the MacArthur Causeway. A review of the traffic volumes demonstrates that traffic on this facility has grown by over 6% over the past 2 years, also higher than the average increase of 3% based on historical data. When we consider the Julia Tuttle Causeway, traffic volumes on this facility have grown by an alarming 12% over the past 2 years alone. In fact, traffic volumes on the Julia Tuttle Causeway are higher than every year prior to the pandemic, with the exception of one, 2019. The Julia Tuttle Causeway is currently carrying more vehicles than pre-pandemic. This data is very telling because it explains why we are seeing so much congestion on 41st Street and on Alton Road, which are the two primary arterials that connect and provide access to and from the Julia Tuttle Causeway. There are multiple factors that impact traffic flow on our major thoroughfares. Some are momentary and sporadic in nature, such as a truck blocking a travel lane or rideshare vehicles blocking, while others have a more lasting effect, such as major special events during our high-impact periods and construction projects. Roadway construction itself is a necessary evil because we must endure those hardships in order to ensure that our roadways are safe, are properly maintained, and improved for years to come. Private development construction also has an impact on traffic flow, not only because of the lane closures needed for that construction, but also because of the hundreds of laborers, workers, who drive in and out of our city on a daily basis to work. I wanted to highlight a few major roadway projects currently in construction that are affecting traffic flow for motorists driving in and out of our city daily. On the MacArthur Causeway, the city has a water main replacement project that requires a lane closure in either direction 24/7. This project should be completed in time for Art Week. Then there's FDOT's long-term I-395 Signature Bridge project in downtown Miami that is slated for completion in late 2027. There are two active FDOT projects on the Julia Tuttle Expressway. The inside shoulder work in both directions for the express bus service and the widening of Alton Road on ramp to the westbound Julia Tuttle by Mount Sinai Medical Center. In this next segment of the presentation, I'll be focusing on strategies and initiatives that we're currently undertaking as a city and in partnership with the county and the TPO and the Coast Guard. Starting with a policy which has been in place for several years now, restricted lane closure hours. The city restricts hours when contractors and special events are permitted to close travel lanes on major thoroughfares. We allow closures on major corridors from 10 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. And we impose construction moratoriums during major special events and holidays. We also encourage nighttime work when appropriate, always being mindful of minimizing noise in residential areas. However, there are a couple of nuances with lane closure restrictions worth mentioning. First, and as I mentioned previously, the city has no jurisdiction on FDOT and county roadways. Pursuant to Florida statutes, FDOT is not subject to county or municipal regulations, including permit requirements, on state roads under their jurisdiction.
I have a question, and maybe our FDOT might be able to help on it. So we've had a couple circumstances, maybe three at least, where during that very difficult weekend in March, I remember my first, that middle weekend that is always the hardest weekend, St. Patrick's Day weekend. And I got a call from the police chief saying that the causeway had to be closed because we couldn't take any more people. The arteries were so filled. Emergency vehicles couldn't get through. And so I just sort of, you know, I'd only been mayor for a little bit, and I said, yeah, go ahead and do it. Okay. Now, I'm not the FDOT the secretary. You know that, right? You want to come up and talk to us about that? I just am interested in knowing the protocol. I've done it now, I think, three times. I think they just asked me to be polite. But what is the – how do we stop that from happening? Because here's the thing. Sometimes I think we see it, and it's gotten to the point where it's just terrible. And other times we sort of know it's going to happen, but we somehow have to wait till it's terrible, which seems to be a horrible way to do business. And I don't know, but you all control that. I think you know the issue pretty well, right?
Mayor, yes. Stacey Miller, Florida Department of Transportation.
And by the way, Secretary, thank you very much for coming. I know you have a lot of important things to do. There are other roads in the county and the district, so other than ours, but I appreciate your time here.
Oh, it's my pleasure. So, yes, I believe I was probably brand new here, and you were brand new here, and we had a rather interesting conversation, I think, when the causeway was closed. I think since that time, our two agencies have worked very well together to try to find a solution for that. I know there have been some suggestions that have been made, and unfortunately the Department of Transportation is bound by a couple of things that don't allow us full closures of interstates or access. But we do have a methodology in place now that affords us the ability to meter traffic as it comes across the causeway. And I think that's actually worked quite well the last few events that we've had. I know that at times it can seem like it's not working, but I do really feel it has made a difference. But unfortunately, a full closure is not something that's likely to occur in a pre-event scenario. Really, those sorts of availabilities are governor-declared emergencies where we need to evacuate the barrier islands. On other instances, as I said, I think our current maintenance of traffic and metering of traffic has been working out quite nicely for us.
So let me ask you a follow-up because I appreciate it. And by the way, the last time we did it, the governor's chief of staff called me and said, hey, you really can't do that. And I said, well, just send me an email telling me I can't do that so I can circulate that to my residents. And to his credit, he called me back and said, we're going to send you a bunch of FHP people to help you do it. So I thought that was a really helpful moment, but it sort of careened into that. And I guess the question is, we sort of know from our histories when we are anticipating a very bad weekend or a very bad moment. There's often three-day weekends or certainly in March closer, and we track the spring breaks of all the colleges in the country. So we know literally every month when more are going to be out. We know the Florida ones tend to be the most difficult because more people come around. I mean, we've gotten sort of good at it. We look at Eventbrite and know when there's more parties planned. And I guess the question is there a way that we can act in anticipation of this stuff rather than on the in the wake of it. And I mean it that way because you all have been helpful, but I sort of had the position of we'll apologize on Monday rather than get permission on Friday, which isn't the best way for governments to operate, and you don't like it, and I don't like doing it, and the next mayor won't like doing it either, but he will. And so I guess there's the question, is, can we figure out how to do that, or is there something we should ask in an administrative or a legislative change? Because I know, and I'm not even saying close it down totally, I mean just maybe limiting the access to it so that we don't get overcrowded, because it absolutely is a public safety threat to us when our emergency vehicles can't move and traverse the city, and and we can't protect the people, most of whom are all visitors that are here. So that's really what I'm hoping we could work on.
So again, I believe the current maintenance of traffic scenario that the two agencies have worked together to create has been working fine. We are metering traffic. We do reduce the number of lanes on the MacArthur, and I don't believe we do. I don't think we do it on the Julia Tuttle. We do it on the MacArthur. I can't go down to one lane. I can only restrict a single lane so that we have two functional lanes. But I do think that's been working. I have asked if the city wants to propose alternate maintenance of traffic plans. They do have to be pre-approved by the department, and we're willing to have those discussions. But since the current maintenance of traffic plans have been approved and put in place, the city has not come back to the department.
Right, that's
for
good. That's something we can work on. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Commissioner Minor.
Yes.
Well, we thank you for being here again.
My pleasure.
So we had a conversation a while back, and I hope you don't mind that if I revisit the issue publicly here. I had brought an initiative and worked closely with our fire department, but police department as well, dealing with emergency situations. Well, I'll term emergency, whether it be a hurricane or similar to what the mayor is talking about when we're having to restrict the traffic flow into our city. And we had come up with this whole plan about having a resident-only lane because our residents sometimes have been caught 4 to 6 hours when those events happen. But ultimately, to do that, we'd have to start it on the causeway. And I know that's something that didn't pass muster. I was wondering, is there something that to work with there? And you sort of talked about tweaking the maintenance of traffic plans, whether that's something we could potentially do, because we're talking about one lane.
So unfortunately, on the department's facilities, we can't have a resident-only facility, especially given the fact that we've already restricted one lane completely. We're down to two lanes. The alternative, which the department has proposed, is there are non-state facilities that can be used for resident access only, but we're happy to look again at the full maintenance of traffic using all of the causeways available, but it will likely not be a resident-only lane during those city events that will occur on FDOT properties.
Wow. Yeah, I got the nuances, but I'd love to follow up with you on that.
My pleasure.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, keep going, Jose. Thank you very much. Maybe you'll come back in a minute. Jose?
So, slide 14. Oh, 15. Perfect. So, similarly to FDOT, Miami-Dade County has an ordinance that clarifies the municipal prohibition with respect to charging fees, imposing requirements, or requiring permits for public works on their right-of-ways. Both agencies, however, FDOT and the county, work very closely with us. They collaborate with us. They understand our policies, and they try to work with us on those. And they do let us know in advance if there's a construction project, if there are going to be crews out that requires a lane closure. Okay, for several years now, we've implemented traffic monitoring program during high-impact periods, mainly from November through May of each year. Mm-hmm. We do that for 14 hours a day, 7 days a week. Our contractor uses cameras and uses Waze to identify incidents that are causing congestion. They verify those incidents with our emergency services departments and with communications. Communications then disseminates traffic text alerts to all who have signed up for those alerts. And The transportation team programs the digital message signs that are strategically located throughout the city with real-time information on those traffic incidents. During major special events and our high-impact periods, we implement a special event signal timing plans that extends the green time traffic along those corridors. This program requires close coordination with special events, the special event coordinators in advance, and communication with the internal departments as well as Miami-Dade County and FDOT during the events.
Hey, let me ask you about, we have a special event every single day at our schools on 41st Street. It's almost impossible sometimes to get out of North Beach. It's sometimes impossible to get across on Pine Tree Drive. And then, of course, the east-west 41st Street is almost the darkest red that Waze has, or any of those has. So I guess my question is, in terms of signalization and timing, I know that's a what is 41st Street? Who owns that?
State Road.
We're back to you. Okay. I know, Alina, you've spent time talking about it. For a while, I was getting physical therapy right there on 41st Street outside of Chase Avenue so I could see, cars moving literally one at a time to make the left turn because oncoming traffic wouldn't let them, and they were all the way down. So, I mean, I heard from parents that it would be sometimes an hour and a half, and their kids were waiting for them or vice versa. They couldn't leave. And I guess the question is that a signalization issue? If we can signalize during high-impact areas, why aren't we signalizing? Because I think it's not fair to say it's the high-impact time when we have the problems. I think we have these problems certainly all the time at certain parts of the day in the areas that seem to have the most issues. And I know a lot of it had to do when we added those lips to the side street so you couldn't make a right turn and you weren't two lanes anymore, so the north-south, if anybody was making the left, then everybody behind them had to wait, and then they were waiting for the one opportunity to go, and then you move one car at a time, and you're ready. And I've seen people do extreme things at those intersections, go into the wrong lane because they're so frustrated and just, put everybody at risk. So it's a problem, and it's signalization. I know at one point we were signalizing because we didn't, especially on the Sabbath, because we wanted to provide Orthodox Jews the ability to cross the street. But absent that, aren't there? Is there a signalization issue on 41st Street, not just on the street, but going north-south as well?
So, Mr. Mayor, what you described is more a capacity issue rather than a signalization issue. Signalization can always be tweaked. We can always extend a green time for a certain movement. At the end of the day, it's a balancing act. There's only a certain number of seconds in each cycle, and it's the key is distributing that as best as possible. The problem is that when a roadway reaches capacity, when there are too many vehicles for the number of lanes on that roadway, there's no signalization change that's going to get us out of that situation. In essence, only time helps that situation, to relieve some of that pressure. So what we've done is we've worked with the county, with and FDOT, and our own police department to deploy some initiatives to try to improve the situation as much as possible. It becomes an issue of managing the situation. It's not something that could be resolved. With our police department, what they did during high impact season, they deployed officers that were essentially trying to keep that intersection clear, which is very important because if the intersection itself gets gridlocked, no one moves in any direction, no matter what the signals are, telling people to do. So that has helped. In doing so, they prohibited some movements to try to get traffic to continue flowing. And then together with the county and with FDOT, there have been a lot of tweaks over time, including reducing the time for pedestrians to walk. Even that, we reduced it to, within allowable limits, but we reduced it as much as possible to try to maximize the green time for the corridor. But again, the issue is one of capacity, and there really is
I think, Mr. Mayor, this would probably be a good time to hear from the county a little bit, because there is a lot of perception about synchronization and how that happens. And I think it's very important, since this is such a public meeting, to invite our former traffic engineer and assistant director of transportation, Josiel, who now is the deputy director over traffic management for Miami-Dade County, and have him give a little bit of a description of how we work with them and the level of review that happens to this process, because we certainly wouldn't want any of you or our public to think that we're not monitoring signalization throughout the city on a regular basis. Thank you, Josiel, for being here.
Before you go, Josiel, let me just I want to follow up on something Jose said, so don't go anywhere. And by the way, this meeting isn't, you know, we're not in, look, we know it's very bad at times, and we're not looking to tell our residents it's not our fault. You know, the burden of leadership is that everything is our fault and everything we have to try to fix. And that's fine, because that's why we took these jobs. But the one thing I'd like to talk about as we go through the whole is what we can do to alleviate it. So I know, for instance, to the point on 41st Street, we're going to have traffic aids that we really haven't had before. We've been using cops to do that, which is not the best use of a police officer, to put them at an intersection when there's other things going on. So I guess when we get these traffic aids, they will be able to presumably go to these high-impact areas, because I don't think it's high-impact. The high-impact time is 8:30 every school day, or 8 o'clock every school day, and 3 o'clock every school day. That's the high-impact time, not a march or Memorial Day, but actually literally every single school day, or whatever those are. Do you think those traffic aids are going to alleviate it to a greater extent? Because I really do want to I'd like to give our residents some hope, not just simply, you know, this is what it is. We live on a barrier island. Deal with it. I don't know that any of us feel comfortable saying we've given up, we pulled the thread on the solution, and this is all you're going to get.
So, Mr. Mayor, I still have a lot of slides left to get into those
fair
topics
enough.
Of how we're managing and mitigating.
Yeah, go ahead, Commissioner Minor, and then we're going
to... I don't want to hold you up, Josiel, but I did want to follow up, because I don't want to lose focus on like one example the mayor brought up was the Chase, and that's one example, but it's not just capacity, because we're talking about going north on Chase. Mm-hmm. And what the mayor was saying is exactly true. Because of the configuration and the bulb outs, a car making a left turn has to wait for the traffic going south or turning. And then literally every car, so one car can get through at every intersection. And it's frustrating for our residents, because they feel like it's a known problem and we haven't been able to figure out how to solve it, because clearly getting one car through an intersection when it goes down literally to the golf probably not the best. And so these are the types of things, and I'm sort of piggybacking on what the mayor said. Let's try to find the solutions for things like that. We know the problem, but how do we solve it?
Josie, come on. Well, congratulations on the new gig.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon, Mr. Mayor, members of the commission. Happy to be here. For the record, Josiel Ferrer Diaz, Deputy Director, Department of Transportation and Public Works in Miami-Dade County. I have the invaluable position of having to manage traffic signals and signs, which oversees traffic signal operation and maintenance throughout the county. On 41st Street, as well as many other streets, we do work extensively with your team from when I was here and now, just as well, having my familiarity with the city in monitoring what we do here, monitoring that we have the best and most optimized traffic operations and signal operations throughout the city. As far as just in general, we've done at least with at my level and with my team, we've done 5 retimings that we've been able to do, and just minor tweaks throughout the city. 5th Street, Collins Avenue, prior to a study that was done by FDOT, a very comprehensive study. We did some work on 41st Street together with the city. We've looked at all of Collins Avenue pretty much in general and working with trying to, as Jose mentioned, trying to optimize the pedestrian crossing times. 41st, FDOT has just concluded at the request of the city a very comprehensive study that I think looked at almost nearly 100 intersections in the area. All of 41st, 40th intersections to the north, Collins Avenue, Indian Creek, that entire area. And they came up with, and through modeling, they came up with a lot of tweaks that we're also working through as well to try to implement. In addition to that, on 41st Street, you know, given my familiarity with the traffic operations here, there was a dark spot in terms of visibility, right? One of the things that we never had on 41st Street, we, you know, when I was here, we had cameras on Alton Road, we had cameras on Indian Creek, and we had cameras on Pine Tree, but we never had cameras throughout the corridor, so you didn't know what was happening there. You didn't know if they were blocking all the box, if you had any issues in the middle of the corridor. So working with the county, we've been able to plan out, and over the next couple of weeks to a month at most, we'll be able to implement two additional cameras throughout the corridor, which we'll do in coordination with the city so that you guys, as well as us, we have visibility into, you know, the meat of 41st Street and make sure that we look at that. Going back to your to a couple of things that I want to touch upon, and it's just food for thought for you guys. These the police officers or aides that you're going to be bringing into the corridor are going to be helpful. I think it's a program that was done in the past when we had here in the city the road rangers that were blocking of the box detail, which was very, very useful there. The one thing that I will tell you in terms of your bulb outs and things along those lines for the left turns, I think, you know, as you guys take a look at that, also keep in mind your own city and how many pedestrians you have, because with the removal of bulb outs, you're also going to make your crossing distances a little bit longer. So as you take a look at your elderly pedestrians and your number of pedestrians in general, you know, there's going to be a little bit more exposure for those pedestrians as they cross the street. So we'll continue. My commitment with the county is to continue to working with you guys throughout your high impact period, as well as any staff that you guys have. We've had conversations with Alina. I know you guys are in the process of taking a look at an additional position for traffic engineering, or hiring a position, filling a position. We'll be working with you guys to train those folks to make sure that they have some type of access to our system so that they could also serve in those after hours and special events that you have, as it's been done in the past.
Thank you. Keep it going. We're solving every problem.
One at a time. All right. So we're on ITS, if I'm not mistaken. Intelligent Transportation System, Smart Parking System. So with this project, we're taking the traffic monitoring program that I described earlier, we're taking it to the next level through the implementation of cameras, digital message signs throughout the city, sensors that gauge the travel time along our major corridors, and a traffic management center co-located at the FDOT District 6 SunGuide Traffic Management Center. The combination of all these components, the cameras, the sensors, this intelligent infrastructure will allow us to more efficiently manage traffic on our major thoroughfares, as well as getting the information out in real time so that drivers can make informed decisions. I'm proud to report that Miami Beach is the only city in all Miami-Dade County and in the state to provide this type of state-of-the-art real-time project, as well as a TMC, a traffic management center. Oh, and just one additional thing on the ITS project. It's currently in construction, and it commences operation in 2024. So traffic signal timing, we talked a little bit about already. Another achievement that I'm very proud of is that we're the only city in the county to have the privilege to have access to the county's traffic signal system and expedite signal timing changes, as Josiel mentioned earlier. Through this access, we've been able to extend green times along certain roads to help flush traffic through and improve flow. While this is a first and a significant achievement, I must highlight that signal timing alone provides only marginal improvements and cannot solve the underlying capacity issue that we have in our city and in our region. When a roadway reaches capacity, as I mentioned earlier, very few interventions can actually help at that point. However, we do understand that if signals are not timed appropriately along a corridor, it can exacerbate congestion. So we're very sensitive to this and have been working with FDOT and the county to ensure our major thoroughfares are coordinated from a signal timing perspective. Police enforcement of Don't Block the Box. We spoke a little bit about this earlier as well. Our police department actively conducts traffic enforcement along 41st Street during high impact periods, primarily focusing on enforcing no blocking of the intersection to avoid gridlock. The 10 new public safety specialists approved as part of this fiscal year's budget will be deployed to key intersections to proactively identify and address traffic issues. It's important to note, however, that Florida law prohibits the use of cameras, because I know that that's been a suggestion some of our residents have made to us, installing cameras rather than traffic safety specialists or officers at the intersection. But Florida statutes prohibits the use of cameras to enforce blocking of the box violations.
Okay, Commissioner Minor, you're recognized.
Thank you, Jose. And I think this is actually a big deal, the blocking of the box. Be curious to hear if, and I think we did hear that it can definitely alleviate some of the congestion we're seeing. I have an item to increase the fines when, I'm not really talking about residents, I'm talking about when we have contractors who are doing work and the MOT says they have to finish by 3 p.m. and they blow right through it. This happens, unfortunately, way too often. And then they end up working through rush hour. And what's your experience on whether that can help alleviate some of the issues we're seeing? I know I've personally experienced, and I also get pictures from residents showing that happen. And when you have a lane blocked in the middle of, whether it be 71st Street, we haven't even talked about North Beach yet, and that's obviously a major issue as well with the traffic that North Beach has. But and 41st, it could back up for miles, just one lane being blocked during rush hour.
So
the question is, do you think that if we can alleviate that, and perhaps whether it's bigger deterrence with fines and what have you, or I'm even looking at potentially if someone, I personally got stuck in a situation, took like an hour. I literally parked my car at some point, just put it in park. I couldn't move. And it turns out that same vendor had done this multiple times. They'd never been held accountable. And the question is, do you have some requirement that vendor cannot do work in our city anymore?
So, Commissioner, if you don't mind, I'm going to call upon Joe Gomez, our Public Works Director. What you're speaking to is with regard to enforcement. We have policies, but policies are only as good as the enforcement is.
Right.
So,
and I spoke to Joe that night. He knows which example I'm talking about. So,
good afternoon, Mr. Mayor, Commissioners, Madam Manager, Joe Gomez, Public Works Director. So under our current under the city's right-of-way code of ordinances, 82-151, we do have provisions for fines within a 12-month period, if it occurs within a 12-month period, for illegal blocking of the roadways. As you pointed out, sometimes the utility company is out there working, or a private contractor, and they exceed the time limit. So as an example, the first violation is $500 up to after the fourth violation within a 12-month period. The fine is $10,000. So these are pretty. The issue is you have to catch them at the moment that's occurring to be able to impose the fine. And that usually we work with our code enforcement department to be able to do that.
Well, I think that's where the key is, and having this, which I know is being worked on, and I think we'll hear a little bit more about this integrated software program, because right now we really don't know when it happens unless somebody calls it in.
Correct.
And generally, most residents don't know to call you and tell you. I don't think we're learning about all the instances in real time.
I think that's probably true, Commissioner. I do think that obviously anything that we can do to enhance enforcement is always a good thing, and I think that type of legislation is probably a good thing to have and a tool. But I do believe, certainly my experience here has been, and I've had several meetings with particular companies and management companies, and I think that it is so difficult to do construction here, and it's so difficult to do deliveries here. It's so difficult to do so many different things that some of these businesses, including, you know, perhaps even utility companies, have just decided that it's a cost of doing business here, and they have to get the work done. They're on a schedule. They have a contract, and they have to get the work done, and they take the risk. And I know that last you know, peak season, we had horrible conditions on Collins Avenue that created a lot of the circumstances that you're describing. And the work had to get done. It was critical infrastructure work that had to get done, and it was causing complete chaos in Mid-Beach and on Collins Avenue. And we have a very aggressive calendar of construction coming up over the next 3 years that are going to impact not only Alton Road, but are going to impact Collins Avenue at the same time, not to mention the work that's being done on the causeways. So these are all very real issues that combined together create significant problems that we have to manage constantly.
I have a and Secretary Miller, you don't need to come up for it, but is it the and just nod is the transportation bill in front of the legislature typically have the traffic changes in it? Is that typically where it comes, the changes to the traffic law? Even though I spent 10 years in the legislature, I knew there was always a very good. Is that under your bill?
Stacey Miller, again, not normally. It is usually in the industry bill, or it's separate bills that are filed by different legislators.
I mean the blocking the box issue, because that's a FHP enforcement as well as a preemption issue. For instance, we can cameras, you know, the stoplight cameras, the red light cameras. There's a lot of discussion and all put that things like that into traffic regulations into your bill, or are they? Does FHP have their own bill? What's the?
Those types of issues are not normally in the FDOT transportation bill. They are either in our partner bills or individual legislators.
Right.
Usually FHP, which is really the Department of Highway Safety and Motor Vehicles, they're a subset. FHP is a subset of that agency. And the department do not include those sorts of elements in our bills. It can occur, but it is not normally part of our bill.
Yeah, because I was going to say is that, you know, the block the box issue, I like enforcement. Maybe I was spent so long as a federal prosecutor, I always think it's good to be telling people how to behave when they are misbehaving. But the problem with the block the box, when they don't let us have the – that is the one that is perhaps should be automated, because for us to enforce that – we actually have to almost block the intersection to do it. In other words, it creates a massive problem when we say to our cops, okay, don't let anybody do that. So they say, fine, and then they're pulling people over in the middle of the intersection at the worst time, and it becomes a multiplier, a cascading effect of gridlock. And because there's so many people doing it, I think if they all knew that they were going to get in trouble, it might change everybody's behavior without having to create that ancillary problem. I think we should consider, I'm trying to keep a list here, of putting it in our legislative priorities, because it does seem to me that we ought to be able to, cities ought to be able to do that, especially since, unlike even the red light cameras, which I support, these actually, the enforcement of it is the opposite problem to what they're intended. It creates the problem it's intended to alleviate. So,
although, if I may add to that,
sure.
Obviously anything that you can use technology and not have a person standing out there, but I found, at least visually, when there was a police officer out there, people did not block the box because they know they're not supposed to. So they don't do it.
Commissioner Dominguez, you're recognized.
Thank you.
Thank you, Director. Secretary.
One observation I wanted to make, as I recall, starting in December and then January, February, March, this was an issue for several months, and it's on 17th Street on Alton Road and West Avenue. And so I had situations where I'd be coming from City Hall. Normally it's a 5-minute drive, and it was gridlock. It would be an hour or an hour and a half. I also had weekly meetings that were taking place at 5th and where was it, Jefferson, around there, and then coming back, it would be 90 minutes to get back because of all of the events and day drivers that were coming from the convention center. One thing that I saw was there was no coordination at all. So even if I would contact the city manager and personnel were sent to help alleviate the traffic, they weren't trained on what to do, and they were pretty much standing off in the side and under a tree and not helping. The bridges were going up and then causing the delay. There was blocking of the box. It was a complete disaster. And so I'm nervous about what's going to happen coming up in a few weeks with Art Basel and then later the boat show and all of the great events that we have. Can we work with the Coast Guard so that in the afternoon, during rush hour, the bridges could stay down so that traffic can flow? I got an LTC saying that we have new positions with the police department personnel to help with traffic. They shouldn't be under a tree or off to the side. I really want them to be trained and expedite, move traffic, and get us through.
There's no excuse for anybody sitting under a tree, and I'd like for Wayne to address that. So that should not happen, because obviously you did call me, and we did deploy resources there immediately, and so that should never happen. The same way it should never happen on 41st Street. So that, you have our commitment to make sure that's not happening. In terms of the public safety specialists, they are being trained, and they will be trained as part of their hiring process, and they will be deployed strategically depending on what the need is as defined by the police department. But Wayne, can you speak to what the condition that she's describing, please?
Absolutely. Thank you for bringing it up, Commissioner. I'd say if you did witness that, I apologize on behalf of the police department. I can assure you, you won't see that again. It's unacceptable for our employees to be assigned a detail like traffic control, traffic management, particularly during the busiest time of the year in our city, and not be in a moment doing the job we paid them to do. So I apologize for that. You won't see that again. The folks we're hiring to support us doing doing traffic operations is not only for high impact periods, but really year round. Particularly to be assigned to major corridors in and out of the city, like 41st Street, 5th Street, 71st Street, wherever they're needed. Right, they're not going to be static. We're going to have them be flexible, depending where the traffic is at any given moment, and move them around in marked what we call PSS cars, properly marked with Miami Beach Police enforcement on there. They have amber lights. They'll be flashing. Very visible and very active and not standing under a tree.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And don't forget 17th Street as it connects through the Venetian Causeway. That's a major artery, and it gets really backed up.
Thank you.
And that's exactly why the traffic officers became prominent and ended up in the budget, because one, police officers obviously can be called out to calls, and just to have dedicated officers, this is what they do. They're dealing with traffic and obviously maybe some special events, but I think it'll be a great addition to our city.
And Commissioner, with regard to the bridge activity during high impact periods, really during any afternoon and morning and afternoon rush hour, the 63rd Street Bridge is operating under a schedule where it's restricted, and it should not open during morning and afternoon rush hours from about 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. to 7 p.m., except for emergency vessels and tugs and tows, which are exempted by federal maritime law. But otherwise, the bridge should not be going up during that time period. The Venetian does not have that those restrictions. It's only the 63rd Street Bridge.
Anything that we can do to help with that doesn't have to be now, because right now there haven't been issues, even with the major constructions that are happening on the Venetian. But I will tell you, starting December, Monday through Friday in the afternoons, it's a major problem.
Yes, during high impact periods, as a matter of fact, what we do is we work with the Coast Guard during, for example, Art Week, to restrict bridge activity during the hours of the show, usually during the afternoon rush hour.
When, For the Venetian.
Because yes.
That's a straight shot from the convention center. Some people are taking it, and that's what builds up all of the traffic.
Correct.
In that
street. We're doing that already. I was referring to just your typical morning rush hour or afternoon rush hour. But during major special events, Art Week will hopefully, if approved by the Coast Guard. We've had it every year until now, but we just put in the request to the Coast Guard.
Well, we do have the Director of Bridge Operations from the Coast Guard online, I believe. Is Mr. Overton on? If perhaps he could help us.
This is Randall Overton, and that's correct. I mean, every year we have to give a special regulation during Art Week so that the bridge would remain closed. to help clear the traffic. Again, even the bridge never opened with as many cars that are on the road during some of these events and these road weeks. It kind of comes back to the roadway capacity. But we do, we accept requests for temporary deviations to the operating schedules. Unless there's just something, some reason we cannot grant that temporary deviation to allow traffic to move, we typically would approve those. But again, there's only so many, there's only so much time we can close those bridges because there are federal regulations which require that navigation not be impacted any more than is absolutely necessary. That the standard standing rule for bridges is that they will open on signal when a vessel needs an opening. We deviate from that with the special regulations, which we have on every single one of the bridges that go across to the barrier island in order to help for rush hour traffic, as has been pointed out, and for events when they do occur.
Okay. So we left off on slide 21, I believe. The parking department. So in the spirit of teamwork, our parking department also assists with enforcement of vehicles blocking travel lanes. Over the past couple years, parking has stepped up their enforcement and issued almost 7,000 citations for obstruction of a travel lane. And the number of citations continues to increase. On the public transit side, different strategies, projects, initiatives, and services that we're providing to manage traffic and really provide options for our residents and our visitors, options to the private vehicle. Our citywide trolley service, all of you are familiar with it. It's a free, convenient, interconnected mobility option that's been in service since 2014. Prior to the pandemic, it was ranked as the best municipal circulator in Miami-Dade County among dozens of cities that are providing similar service. Our trolley service operates 15 hours a day from 8 a.m. to 11 p.m., 7 days a week, at approximately 20-minute average service frequency or wait times along each route. And we're currently still operating at a reduced level of service since the pandemic. Our trolley service is augmented by our free freebie on-demand service that serves the mid-beach neighborhoods that are not currently served by the city's trolley or county bus service. We also provide freebie service to elderly residents living in affordable housing facilities and or who are registered with senior programs at Unidad Jewish Community Center or Little Havana Nutrition and Activity Center. The freebie on demand has proven to be a popular, eco-friendly, first-mile, last-mile mobility option for trips within the city.
And just for the record, freebie is not free. It is subsidized heavily by the city and I believe the People's Transportation Fund as well.
Yes. Another public transit initiative that we're very excited to be launching, hopefully by Art Week, is a Cross Bay water taxi service operating from Omni Transit Hub in downtown Miami to Sunset Harbor, operated by a private operator. The service will operate for about 12 hours a day, 7 days a week, departing from Miami Beach and Miami every hour. It'll connect Metro Mover and bus service at Omni in downtown with our trolley service in Sunset Harbor. And we're currently in the permitting phase. And as I mentioned, we hope to launch this by our Art Week.
Can I just add that we're in the permitting phase with Miami-Dade County, so also depending on our partnership with Miami-Dade County to see that project through.
Commissioner Minor.
Jose, I also have a separate initiative to submit for grant funding to the federal government to build infrastructure for a ferry service, which potentially could be free. So in an effort to increase usage? Where are we with that?
You're correct, Commissioner. So this water taxi service that I just described, it's actually a pilot. It's a one-year pilot.
Right.
And then there are long-term goals for a permanent water taxi service connecting downtown Miami and Miami Beach. We're starting as a pilot, but the goal is to issue a competitive solicitation for permanent water taxi service.
Okay. Thank you.
I also want to bring up that I had meetings with the Marine Waterfront Protection Authority and also the Sunset Harbor Neighborhood Association regarding the potential for the upcoming ferry, and both have sent extensive lists of consideration to make sure we had in place. I sent it to Alina and Kevin back on October 4th. I can send it to Raquel, whoever needs it, because I really want to make sure that the neighborhood's needs and our committee's suggestions are being taken into consideration.
Well, Commissioner, we're very sensitive to the needs of that community, and we're working in all of those requests, conditions as part of the agreement with the private operator. Slide 25. So, continuing on the transit theme, as part of the county's Strategic Miami Area Rapid Transit Plan, or SMART Plan, the county and FDOT are collaborating with us to launch two Bus Express Rapid Transit, acronym is BERT, B-E-R-T, along the Julia Tuttle Causeway and along the MacArthur. These services will provide a direct express connections from hubs on the mainland to our city, this area, the city center area.
When will that go into effect? This was like 4 or 5 years ago we funded it.
That's correct. So I'm going to ask if someone from DTPW can maybe address the schedule for the BERTs.
How much are we spending on this?
We had allocated about $5 million to assist with the operations.
Is that from a transportation trust we had? Was that?
Correct, the capital, some capital funds.
When is it? Is that the work they're doing now, by the way?
On the inside shoulder of the Julia Tuttle, that's in preparation for this service.
So when does it start? You can come on up.
So as far as the schedule, we'll coordinate with FDOT on the timeline for that. But just there is existing service on one of the shoulders today.
Right.
And once this construction is finalized, then we'll launch the service for the permanent service that's going to come in on the inside shoulder as soon as that construction is finalized and accepted.
Yeah, thank you, everybody, for doing it. By the way, just so people know, the city's spending about $5 million to do it, even though we suspect that almost none of our residents will use it. It's really for visitors and employees. It's for other parts of the county to get their residents to and from ours without putting cars on the road. We agreed to pay for it because we thought it would help everybody and also declog at least a little bit of our roads. Secretary.
So our current schedule for the completion of the shoulder work is July of 2024.
So is it going to be like that lane's going to be out till July? Because right now it's two lanes, I think, right?
No, I think there's intermittent lane closures, but I think...
There was a shift,
so but the majority of it is...
One lane is out, but the other lanes are open.
I think it's intermittent lane closures. I don't think it's continuous lane closures.
Thank you.
Signal timing optimization. We touched on this already, and believe it or not, it is another agenda item. It's agenda item 3. We've discussed it quite a bit already. In collaboration with FDOT and DTPW and pursuant to a resolution of the City Commission, we've been all three entities collaborating on optimizing signal coordination along our major thoroughfares, Fifth Street, Collins Avenue, 63rd Street, and 44th Street. Some of the recommended signal timing improvements have already been implemented, as Josiel mentioned earlier. And I think at this point, I may draw upon the FDOT folks on the signal timing efforts along the state roads.
Good afternoon. My name is Ernesto Polo with District 6. As Jose stated, this is a two-steps approach. Phase one is the one that we just completed. We have submitted the report to the city, and the city provided comments, and we are moving to phase two, which we will start in January because of the data collection that has to take place due to the inflow of visitors. And it should go for over about a year to implement all the changes in phase two.
I have a question.
You're in.
Did this have any application to automatic pedestrian signals? Because I have received concerns from residents that in many areas of the city, the pedestrian signals have been eliminated and aren't there anymore. And some of the specific areas were West Avenue and Lincoln Road, Collins Avenue and Española Way, Meridian, and 6th, 8th, and 15th Streets.
Good afternoon. My name is Omar Maitin with the FDOT. So the one that we're aware of is the one on Alton Road between 10th and 16th with the exclusive pedestrian phases. We're actually in the process of evaluating that information. We're actually collecting data to find out what times is the high use of pedestrians crossing the road. We're actually going to keep the exclusive pedestrian phase at 10th for Shabbat. But we're trying to identify when is the most the appropriate times to include these pedestrian exclusive phases, because again, it does create delays for vehicles when no one's actually crossing the intersection.
I understand, and I appreciate you stepping in. I will send Raquel the specific areas of concern that the residents had so that she can share with you and you can monitor.
I know that issue was also on 41st Street, and as Josiel spoke a little while ago, they also removed those exclusive pedestrian phases during the times of during the normal course of the day, except for on the Shabbat.
Commissioner, I think part of the confusion and the perception that they went away is that during COVID, they were automatic for probably close to 2 years. Mm-hmm. And so when we got past COVID and it went back to cycling only during very specific hours, I think the perception may be that the signalization capacity wasn't there, but it is there. It was just removed during regular days because of the impact of traffic.
That's correct, Madam Manager. That change took place probably close to 2 years now when we removed removed those exclusive pedestrian phases from everywhere. They were really all over the city in an effort to reduce physical contact, but that went away a long time ago. A lot of the signals currently are working as a push button, meaning the pedestrian would have to push the button in order to cross the street, with the exception of some signals that are programmed for Sabbath timing, where they're on automatic pedestrian recalls during the Sabbath times. And then the intersections that Omar mentioned along Alton, which are on exclusive pedestrian phases, so those are coming on every time.
So the ones that I mentioned were recently changed, and it had nothing to do with COVID. Another observation that I was given is that a pedestrian can easily go and press the button, but now with the removal of these transmitters, somebody on an e-scooter or on a bike, it's not as easy for them to go and press the button, and since the change has been made. But I'll get all of this information to Raquel so that she can share, and if people can monitor and make any improvements for the residents, that would be terrific.
Thank you. Okay. 27. Just a couple more slides. We discussed the drawbridge schedules already. We have two drawbridges in our city, the 63rd Street Bridge and the Venetian Causeway East Bridge, which is within our city limit. The 63rd Street Bridge, as I mentioned earlier, operates on a schedule where it does not open in the morning rush hour, specifically from 7:10 a.m. to 9:55 a.m. and from 4:05 p.m. to 6:59 p.m. Monday through Friday, except on federal holidays. And with the exception of vessels in distress or emergency vessels. The Venetian Causeway Bridge, as we mentioned earlier, that one is that schedule is a more free schedule. The bridge opens on demand, except from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Daily, where it opens on the hour and half hour. Excellent. So a few additional ongoing strategies and initiatives to manage traffic congestion in our city that I'd like to mention real briefly. Our next generation municipal transit service, that's one that we're very excited about because our current trolley service has reached the end of its service life, and we're working on procuring our next generation municipal transit circulator service. Our goal is to bring an RFP before the City Commission for issuance in early 2024. We continue to plan, design, and build bike lanes and shared paths throughout our city. We've built 44 miles of bike lanes in the past several years, shared paths as well, and that includes the beach walk. And we have about 28 more miles that are in the pipeline over the next 5 years. We'll be initiating a pilot program to test a new signal software system that's intended to optimize traffic signal coordination along a corridor. It's a very new technology in the market, and we're excited about the potential for a pilot there. That's part of actually our operating budget this fiscal year. We continue to work with private developers during the permitting phase to encourage them to offer transportation alternative strategies to their workforce to reduce auto trips. And we work closely with special event coordinators, particularly the larger ones, Art Basel, Boat Show, to encourage them to implement multimodal transportation services appropriate for their event, including park and ride, establishing park and ride facilities, shuttle bus service, water taxi, and bicycle parking. And while it's not a requirement, special events are strongly encouraged to fund and promote these services to help mitigate the traffic congestion that we all experience during these major events in our city. Lastly, connecting our barrier island to the mainland through an efficient mass transit system is crucial to our city's sustainability. To this end, we've been working with Miami-Dade County for several years now in their endeavor to implement mass transit projects such as the Baylink and the BERTs as proposed in the county's smart plan. So this slide capsulizes all the different ongoing strategies and initiatives that we as a city are undertaking either on our own fruition or volition or in collaboration with our transportation agency partners. I'll just read some for the record. To summarize, restricted lane closure hours, traffic monitoring and management services with communication in real time, intelligent transportation smart parking systems project will come online in 2024, traffic signal coordination on major corridors, which is underway, police enforcement through the 10 new public safety specialists, parking enforcement, public transit initiatives, including our citywide trolley service, our free on-demand service, the Cross Bay commuter water taxi pilot, and the Baylink and BERTs that we're working with the county on. Bascule Bridge schedule restrictions on the 63rd Street Bridge. We continue to build out our bicycle network and working with special events on robust multimodal transportation plans. And so this last slide is actually my favorite slide. It provides a glimpse of a few potential strategies for consideration going forward. Some of these are new and emerging technologies in the market. Some will require new policy changes or direction. Some are long-term, private-driven ventures, and their applicability in our city would need to be further analyzed. And I'd like to highlight just a couple of them and some potential applicability. We're looking at ways of integrating our artificial intelligence as part of our intelligent transportation system project. The idea is that the data be aggregated, not just data, but knowledge as well, through the use of AI, aggregate that knowledge to better inform decision-making. Also, connected and autonomous vehicles can be very useful because they collect and aggregate all types of relevant data around the city, including dangerous intersections, potholes, damaged signs, missing signs, frequency of hard braking at specific locations, and even the condition of pavement markings if they're poor. That could all be detected. And so I'll just leave this slide up if there's any questions.
Yeah, I have a. So, you know, one thing we haven't talked about really is what's going to happen over the next. How long is the Venetian Causeway going to be going through construction? Hate to be the bearer of news.
Draw upon
it's not positive.
Good afternoon. My name is Miguel Soria. I'm with the Department of Transportation Public Works, Miami-Dade County. The Venetian Causeway, the design right now of all the bridges except the 11 bridges out of the 12, is in design. We're working towards the 60% plans.
What does that mean?
It means that, think of the plans being 100%. We're almost at about 50% plans complete before we can start the procurement process and begin the construction. The construction is going to take approximately about 5 years for the total construction of the project. So we're looking at, once all the permitting and everything is completed, we're hoping that we can start construction somewhere in 2025, late 2025, early 2026. And obviously it's a pretty detailed technical construction because it's, all the bridges are going to be replaced except for the first bridge.
I assume it's going to be done in a cascading way where you do one.
It will be. Not all bridges will be under construction at the same time, but even though the whole project will be in construction, contractor will only be working in about two bridges at a time. They will be limited to that.
But it'll undoubtedly have more, it'll create a lot of. Will it be blocked at total, or will it be
just
slower than normal?
It'll be slower than normal. The bridges will not be closed. Right now, the concept is maintaining one lane of traffic. So we're going to be closing down half of the bridge. We're going to be building basically tearing down half of the bridge and keeping one lane of traffic on the one side of the existing bridge. And then alternately, once the new bridge is constructed, one lane of traffic will be on that one bridge. And
tell me the likely start date on the construction. What was it again?
Likely start date of the construction. Plans complete are in about 2025, so about a year or so for procurement. We're hoping to start construction late 2026.
Well, that'll at least the next commission will have a few years of not having to worry. What about the Signature Bridge project? Is that going to have an impact on the 5th Street Causeway?
The Signature Bridge project?
There we go. See, for the public, these are one of the challenges, that there's a different agency or governmental entity responsible for so many of the arteries that it's hard to get them all coordinated. Tell us what the Signature Bridge will be doing to the east and westbound traffic on the 5th Street Causeway.
On the 5th Street Causeway?
Well, we call it the 5th Street Causeway. It's MacArthur.
On the MacArthur?
Yeah.
Okay. That's a new one for me. I apologize.
Well, it's 5th Street here.
I understand. I appreciate that. Roads here in Miami-Dade County have multiple names. It has been something to get used to. As I think was already perhaps mentioned, the 395 project is moving along. We are behind schedule. However, we anticipate completion of the project in late 2027 or early 2028.
Okay.
And as I mentioned, the Julia Tuttle project, which is the separate project that's the median construction, and that should complete next summer.
So the good news is that'll be open before the Causeway project starts, but the Signature Bridge project will probably still cause issues for us for some time.
I don't want to say it'll cause issues as we substantially complete certain elements. Obviously, traffic flow should improve, but it is basically essentially what they're doing now is we've opened a few on-ramps
right.
that take you on and off 395 or the MacArthur from I-95. We're going to shift traffic to the new structures, demolish the existing structures, rebuild. So you'll see traffic shifts that will happen over the next few years.
Just a little thing. Yeah, I mean, just to the city, I think it's going to really be incumbent on the city to figure out how to deal with what is going to be a lot of major changes to the, frankly, all three arteries, the main arteries of our city over the next 6 years. That'll be really, it might not be as challenging as it could, but it could easily become far more challenging than we hope because the Venetian Causeway's, you know, used a lot, and for a bunch of years, I think it's probably not going to be used as much. And then Fifth Street will also have problems, hopefully. Anyway, that's going to require a lot of coordination among a lot of different sovereigns. Okay. All right, let's finish it up. Are you done?
Yes, this was the last slide, Mr. Mayor.
Okay.
I don't know if there are any questions on that slide.
Well, I have on my agenda different other...
open discussion.
Yeah, we talked about signalization, we talked about the bridges. Alina, were there other issues you wanted us to, before I open up for any discussion?
No, I think we've highlighted all the things that we, you know, deal with on a daily basis that we manage and that we try to mitigate. I do want to take the opportunity to introduce the Executive Director of the Transportation Planning Organization, Eileen Boucle, who walked in a little bit late. And thank you, Eileen, for being here. Eileen's responsible for the entity that oversees regional long-term transportation, so it's great that she's here and sensitive to our concerns. I believe we do have representatives from our neighboring jurisdictions, and to the extent that we want to have any kind of conversation regarding how we impact each other. You know, our Basel and Art Miami are a really good example of how complex that week becomes, because it's not just the impact of what we're dealing with here on the island, but it's the transportation back and forth to Art Miami and downtown Miami. So you have gridlock on the MacArthur, you have gridlock on the Venetian, because there are so many people trying to attend all of the events in both cities. And it's something that we try to mitigate, but at some point it becomes very difficult to impact that because there's just a lot of traffic.
That's a good point. Jose, could you put up the last slide on possibilities, we'll call it? Okay. And I guess the first thing is, how many of these, like, you know, reversible lanes? I've been in cities that have reversible lanes. I always thought that if we did them in Florida, people would be shooting at each other more than they already do, frankly, because it takes a lot of resident buy-in to reverse lane direction, and when you have this many visitors, it becomes an even more of a problem. Have we tried and thought about reversible lanes in any meaningful way? I mean, has there been any study of it? Is around 41st Street, have we thought about it? I mean, because those seem to be the areas where there's always congestion, and I don't know if there's any, if we've looked at any of these things other than putting them on the slide.
Mr. Mayor, we've done some very high-level analysis, if you will, of reversible lanes and where we think there may be a potential for that type of facility. In a very highly urbanized environment where there are destinations all over and there isn't a clear origin and a destination, a point A and a point B, and people are leaving point A trying to get to point B. And so that's really where reversible lanes are most effective. We're so urbanized, there's so many movements, for example, on 41st Street, people going north-south, all the left turns, a lot of destinations along the north-south avenues. So to reverse a lane, first and foremost, would be a long-term project that we would need to at least look at in collaboration with FDOT, since it's an FDOT roadway. We did a very high-level analysis of 17th Street for reversible lanes, and actually we're studying that as we speak, and that's all part of a Miami Beach Convention Center area comprehensive traffic study that we're doing that's looking at this entire area, 17th, Dade, Washington Avenue, and Meridian, to try to come up with ways to maximize the capacity of the roads during major special events. One of the potential strategies is reversible lanes along 17th Street. The verdict isn't out yet. It's still, you know, in the analysis stage, but we are looking at that. And as I mentioned, we thought of 41st Street. Something else to take into consideration is that for reversible lanes to be most effective, there needs to be a clearly defined split in traffic, like 70-30, 80-20. When you have a lot of movements and pretty much an equal distribution of traffic in both directions, reversible lanes lose some of their...
What about one-way? What about making some two-ways into one-ways? Because that sometimes can help, especially on 41st Street. And the reason I bring that up is that it's the median of our city, and frankly, it's become a really difficult thing to traverse at every level, and it's almost every neighborhood has that issue. And so is there – and the BUDs have created single lanes where there used to be two lanes, so you can't make a right turn when someone's going straight. It just – it creates all these bottlenecks everywhere, and I understand the safety reasons for the they're not called BUDs. You guys call them something else.
Bulb outs. Bulb outs.
Bulb outs.
Bulb outs.
All right, the buds. And so, I guess my question is, if you made some of those, have we looked at, and I never want to impose, sort of non-traffic engineer views of what a traffic engineers have to do. So my question really is, have we looked at that, not whether we should do it or not, but have we looked at it as a possibility?
In certain areas, we have, Mr. Mayor, for example, in the Art Deco Cultural District in the ADCD, yeah. I know that that was one of the proposed recommendations from the Siskovich team was right. to change the directionality of those side streets in that district. But and then we've done, some isolated traffic studies where we have either changed the directionality or converted one-way street to two-way or vice versa, but not in a – if you're referring to a comprehensive type of analysis that looks at the entire city and opportunities for that, I don't think that that's something that's been done before. We're still working off of our master plan from 2016, adopted back in 2016. That master plan did not look at reversing directionality of streets.
Yeah, or one way. In other words, there may be a big advantage to going one way in one direction and the next street going in the other, simply because it gives the people going north-south certainly the ability to go straight and go right or go left and go straight without waiting. It's really become – I can tell you that it's sort of nutty. And look, I understand. One of the problems is this. We are very unique, and I know all the people who have all these other jurisdictions are tired of hearing that, but here's what makes us different. Most communities have residents who might go to a business center every morning and come back every night. Some places are in business centers, and so residents come to them, and they have traffic coming there during the day and going back at night. And then there are some places that are tourist attractions, which get visitors coming all the time, not going to work or coming from work, but just going there. We're all three. That's the unique feature of my city, is that we have people like me who only work in Miami, going to Miami every day and coming back. We have people from Miami, about 60 or 70,000, I think, coming to work at the hotels and the hospitals. And then we have all these tourists coming at all different times back and forth, often in Ubers, but often in rentals. And that's superimposed over those two other distinct groups. And that's what creates a problem for us, is that we are unique in a sense that we have all these different groups coming around in and out of our city, and it creates really – and 41st Street and the two causeways are the key, I think. And Fifth Street is not going to get better, I don't think. And I think the 41st Street's only been getting worse. And as we get younger – we have, schools and temple schools opening up and more synagogues and more churches and more community centers. I think that this isn't going to get better. So I think if somebody was thinking about looking at our streets globally to see whether they should be reversed or one way or something like that, I think now would be the time to do it, because the problem we have now, I suspect, is not going to be as bad as the problem we have in 4 or 5 years. Even with all these changes to the Signature Bridge and the Venetian Causeway, it's not going to improve traffic. It's just going to make it safer and more reliable, and so that concrete trucks can go on them, and now they can't. So, you know, we know that the arteries are not going to be expanding unless we provide more space. So I think some kind of analysis like that would be a good one, but it would have to include state, federal, and local roads, state, county, and local roads, because it would make no sense to look at just one of those. So I don't know how you do that. I don't know who does it, but somebody probably ought to do it, because knowing how, I know how these things work, they're not, you don't need, you know, a stopwatch. You need, you know, they do move glacier-like because these are very big issues that affect millions of people and their movements, and you want to get it right, and I appreciate that. But I think that's going to be a big problem going forward.
We can certainly look into that.
Well, anyone else? Guys, I'm Commissioner Minor. You want to say anything? Commissioner Dominguez, anyone else?
And I think what the mayor just said is a great point, because so many times we look at, and we are trying to make changes, but we're looking at finite points, and they do make improvements. Like one of the items that we had brought that FDOT had approved is having the two turning lanes from Indian Creek onto 41st, which will help, but it takes time. But I think I agree. We need to look at the big picture as well, because while we need to micromanage each corridor, the global city, which intersects obviously with our neighboring cities, I'm glad they're here, needs to be examined as well.
Anything else? Madam Manager, I'm about to recess. Is there more?
No, I mean, we have so much leadership here in the transportation industry. I don't know if there's anyone who's doing something more creative or has any suggestions of things. I mean, we're completely open to exploring and potentially even partnering and funding and looking for any solution that any of our partner agencies are thinking about or are looking at strategically from a planning perspective, to the extent that there's anybody. The only reversible lane project that I'm aware of in Dade County is tied to the stadium at Hard Rock Stadium. That's the only place that I've seen reversible lanes implemented. It was done during a Super Bowl many, many, many years ago, and it's still part of the implementation of the operational plan during game day. So again, we remain completely open to looking and exploring and finding solutions, Mr. Mayor and commissioners. And to the extent that anybody's listening and has them, we are completely open to that.
Great. All right. I just want to go ahead, Commissioner Minor.
We were talking about the traffic management engineer, whatever the exact title is. When is that anticipated to be on board?
We'll have our new team member will start December 1st.
My daughter's birthday.
That's a key position.
I won't forget that date.
Mm-hmm. Key position.
Listen, I want to thank you all for your valuable time. Our state officials, our county officials, our local team, thank you very much. We appreciate it, and hopefully we'll be able to help all of these are all of our residents, so maybe we'll, including your commissioners. So thank you very much for your time and your thoughts, and hopefully your good work going forward as we can solve some of these great challenges. Meeting's adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you.